This is one of the most bizarre unsolved mysteries you'll ever hear. It all began on a crisp fall morning in Houston, Texas. Mary Morris woke up, said goodbye to her husband, and set off for work. Later that day, a passerby made a horrific discovery. Mary was found murdered in her vehicle along a remote back road just a few miles from her home. Mysteriously, her car was found in the opposite direction from her work. Mary Morris had no enemies. She was beloved by her friends and family. There was no explanation for her murder. Police had little evidence to go on, but began trying to determine motive. 72 hours later, this case took a strange turn. Not far from where Mary's body and car were discovered, another woman was found murdered in her vehicle along a desolate back road. Her name? Mary Morris. Two women, both named Mary Morris, found murdered in their cars in the Houston area just days apart. The circumstances of their deaths were eerily similar. Even more chilling, the two women even looked alike. It's one of the most mysterious unsolved cases in Texas history. Many believe these murders have to be connected. Others, including Houston investigators, believe it's just a strange coincidence. But let's see what you think. This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. Be sure to follow along wherever you listen to this podcast. Share the show with your friends, family, neighbors, coworkers. And if you really just want to melt my heart, leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It all helps so much in growing the show, so thank you. You guys really are the best. Now, today's case. It's a double murder mystery, a cold case. Let's get right into it. Thursday, October 12th, 2000. It was like any other morning as Mary Lou Morris woke up in her Baytown, Texas home and got ready for work. 48-year-old Mary was employed as a bank loan officer at the Spring Valley Chase Bank in Houston, which was about a 30-minute drive from her house. So she got ready, said goodbye to her husband, Jay Morris, and left for the day around 6 a.m. But during that commute, something horrible happened, as Mary never made it to work. As her coworkers settled in for the morning, they took note of Mary's absence and began calling around. They're concerned. Where was she? Mary was usually very dependable, and Jay Morris usually spoke to his wife at least once or twice throughout their day to check in with one another. But on this day, his calls to his wife were going unanswered. Hours passed, and there was no word from Mary. She never turned up at work or back home. Something was very wrong. By 5 p.m., Jay reported Mary missing. And later that evening, a horrific discovery. A passerby riding an ATV found a smoldering abandoned vehicle along the side of a remote stretch of back road about 3 miles from the Morris home. Inside the car was a body burned beyond recognition. Police arrived at the scene and needed to extract tooth fragments to ID the body. The car was identified as Mary's Chevy Lumina, and the body inside was positively ID'd as Mary Morris. The killer had poured accelerant and set the entire car on fire. Mary had been essentially cremated. Due to the state of her remains, cause of death couldn't be determined. Although Mary's purse and wedding ring were missing, expensive jewelry was found on Mary's body, so the idea this was a robbery seemed unlikely to investigators. What was the motive here? Mary Morris had no enemies. Her daughter, Marilyn Blalock, said there was no reason for it whatsoever. She was just a really good person, you know? Never did anything bad to anybody. They asked about everything from gambling to drugs to affairs to anything, and all the answers were no. Everyone that knew Mary personally said she was a really friendly individual. Police didn't feel that Jay Morris was a likely suspect and ruled him out fairly early on. According to friends, Mary and Jay were very happily married. No one was aware of any big issues between the two. Life seemed to be going very well for the couple. Police found that Mary was married before. She had an ex-husband, but he too was ruled out early on. Both men were very cooperative with police, wanting to help find Mary's killer. But investigators were stumped. They had very little to go on. And mysteriously, police found that Mary's vehicle was found 3 miles from her home, but in the opposite direction from her work. So what led her in that direction? Additionally, police were never able to find any reason that Mary would have taken this alternative route, which was really just a desolate back road in the opposite direction from where she was going. So that was another mystery. The day after Mary Morris was found, there was a very chilling phone call placed to the Houston Chronicle.
Hello?
An unknown male caller reportedly said, quote, "They got the wrong Mary Morris," end quote. Strange. And it gets stranger. After they held a funeral for Mary, her daughter Marilyn called the coroner to see if she could retrieve the rest of her mother's jewelry. The coroner reportedly told her yes, she could, after they finished preparing her body for burial. Wow. Now, Marilyn was understandably shocked and appalled. She just buried her mother. And now the coroner is saying they're still preparing the body for burial? Then, 3 days later, the case took yet another bizarre turn. Not far from where Mary's body and car were discovered, another woman was found murdered, killed in her vehicle, and her name was also Mary Morris. This victim, 39-year-old Mary McGinnis Morris, was found in a remote area a few miles from her home. The medical examiner found that Mary had been beaten, then shot in the head. There were also apparent defensive wounds on her arms. Investigators ruled this a murder, but it looked like the killer had staged the scene to appear as a suicide. Investigators found blood on the passenger door, which was left open, and the keys were outside the car. And just like the first Mary Morris, the second Mary Morris's wedding ring was also missing. The two victims shared the same first and last name, both killed in their vehicles in the Houston area, just 3 days apart. Both discovered in remote areas with no witnesses, both women drove similar-looking sedans. And hauntingly, the two Marys even looked alike. Both women had short, dark brunette permed hair and a fair complexion. So when you think of the size of Texas, it is huge. So for these two crime scenes to be merely 25 miles from each other, these two murders took place very close to one another. Two Marys viciously targeted. Police were on a mission to find a possible link between the victims. We'll be right back. You're back with Avery After Dark. After the discovery of the second Mary Morris, police began looking into her life. What was going on in the days leading up to her murder? Police find the second Mary, Mary McGinnis, was a successful nurse practitioner who loved her job. She had lots of friends. Mary was in charge of overseeing several clinics for a pharmaceutical company named Union Carbide in Houston. Mary's sister, Stephanie, spoke of her sister and said, quote, "Mary was like an angel. She was very joyful, always happy, making people laugh. She was just really loved by everybody. At work, anything a doctor could do, Mary did. She would work 14 hours a day and not think twice. Go back in the evening, weekends, whenever she was needed," end quote. So both the Marys were extremely well-liked and, by all accounts, respected in their professions. Both got along with everyone. Well, almost everyone. We'll get to that in a second. It was revealed that the second Mary Morris may have had a feeling her life was in danger in the days leading up to her death. Mary met with her friend, Lori Gemmel, at one of her clinics on October 16th to give her a flu shot. And Lori said she seemed to be in good spirits. As Lori left, Mary said she was heading out to run some errands. Later that day at 5:30 p.m., Lori got a very disturbing call. It was Mary. She was at a drugstore and was panicked. Lori said, quote, "When she was in the drugstore, she saw somebody that gave her the creeps. She said, 'I'm going to run across the bridge and turn off my computer and sign out of the building and go home.'" End quote. It was said that Mary had mentioned this person possibly looked familiar, a friend of Duane. Dwayne being her coworker named Dwayne Young, who was a fellow nurse. So Mary said she believed she may have met this person at a Christmas party Dwayne threw. We'll get to Dwayne in just a moment. So Mary and Lori hung up. Then, 12 minutes later, Mary places another call to 911. Wayne Coolman from the Harris County Sheriff's Department said that they would not release the tape of the conversation, quote, but it covers the attack that happened to Mary. And anybody that has heard that tape has had their blood chilled listening to it. It's a very chilling, disturbing call, end quote. And her body was found several hours later. So safe to assume the contents of that call are horrific. Now, back to Dwayne. I said that the second Mary Morris got along with almost everyone. Before her murder, she was having issues with a coworker named Dwayne Young, who was a fellow nurse, like I mentioned. It's not clear why exactly the two had such issues with each other, but they did. Dwayne reportedly never got along with Mary, even going so far as trying to trash her reputation at work and get her fired. On the day that the first Mary Morris was murdered, things had escalated between the second Mary Morris and Dwayne. That day, Mary Morris had gone back to her office to find it in complete disarray. Things were out of place. Picture frames with Mary and her family had been turned over. She believed this could only be one person, Dwayne. She went to his desk to confront him, but found that he had left for the day. But Mary found something alarming scribbled on his desk. The words, "Death to her," written on a day planner. Mary was horrified, and the next day, Dwayne was escorted out of the building. Some say he quit, others say he was fired, but either way, Dwayne was gone, and Mary was reportedly fearful that he would retaliate. After finding death to her, she, understandably so, was afraid Dwayne would come after her and follow through on this. In the days leading up to the second Mary's murder, her husband, Mike Morris, said that Mary had asked to borrow a gun from her husband, telling him that she was really scared of Dwayne. He said he showed her how to operate the handgun, then placed it underneath the driver's seat of her car. This would be the same gun that would be used to kill her days later. So Mary had issues with this coworker, Dwayne, in the days before her death, and then a scare with an unknown individual at the drugstore in the hours before her murder. Clearly, there was a lot going on in the days before Mary was killed. So Dwayne is an initial suspect for police. He has never been ruled out as a suspect, suggesting the absence of an alibi. But police also quickly hone in on another suspect, Mike Morris, the second Mary's husband. When speaking to police about his whereabouts around the time of his wife's murder, Mike reportedly told police that he was at the movies with their daughter. But he wouldn't take a polygraph and also wouldn't let police interview his daughter to confirm this. Mike Morris also quickly hired an attorney shortly after his wife's body was discovered, and investigators learned that he and Mary had been having issues in their marriage. There were supposedly issues with infidelity. Mike supposedly confronting Mary about an alleged affair that she was having with a close family friend. He also reportedly confronted this family friend about it as well, but both denied it. According to those close to the family, he had reportedly followed his wife on numerous occasions, trying to see what she was up to. Police looked deeper into Mike Morris and found there was a life insurance policy on Mary that totaled nearly $700,000, and Mike was the beneficiary. So in terms of motive, police found issues in the marriage, infidelity, and a possible $700,000 payout. So police had to question, was this a plan to kill a spouse and then collect on a substantial life insurance policy? There was also one more thing that tipped police off. Around the time that the second Mary Morris was brutally attacked and killed, phone records show that Mike had called her cell phone at 7:11 p.m. This call lasted for 4 minutes. And to get a little bit of a timeline here, this call was placed 2 hours after Mary made that call to 911 detailing her attack. Now, when confronted with this evidence, Mike Morris claimed that he called his wife, but she didn't answer. Detectives come back and say, well, the phone records state that the call lasted for 4 minutes. And let's be realistic, if you call someone and they don't answer, at most, the call will last a few seconds. Who would sit on the phone listening to it ring for 4 minutes? And there was reportedly some back and forth here regarding this phone call, Mike claiming that the 4 minutes must just be a mistake on the phone company's part. Detective Kuhlman said, quote, "This was, by all indications of the cellular telephone company, a completed call. What you have to wonder is, what did that phone call either set in motion or end?" End quote. Mike could never explain this phone call, pretty much just telling police that he thought there was a possibility of Mary answering, so he just let it ring for 4 minutes. But if he had called and the phone did ring for 4 minutes, as he said, the phone call would not have shown up on the phone records, as it reflected in their records as answered. So that means someone answered. Detective Kuhlman also said, quote, "I don't accept that Mike made this phone call and that the phone rang for 4 minutes. It's not possible. The question is, who answered the phone on the other end? That's what the big question is. And what did they talk about for the 4 minutes?" End quote. So police aren't buying it. And police theorize that Mike placed this call to try and speak with his wife's killer. Others speculate that this could have been some sort of chilling final goodbye conversation. And to this day, that 4 minute phone call remains one of the most chilling and mysterious unanswered questions in this case. Why was Mike calling his wife? Who picked up the phone? And what was said? We'll be right back. You're back with Avery After Dark. Many theorized, seemingly from the beginning, that because of how similar the two cases are, both of the victims being named Mary Morris, that this was a contract killing and a case of mistaken identity. This theory suggests that someone put a hit out on the second Mary Morris. The killer accidentally killed the wrong Mary Morris the first time, then later corrected his mistake, and then carried out the second Mary Morris killing as she was the intended target the entire time. This theory really goes hand in hand with that strange phone call that was allegedly made to the Houston Chronicle after the first Mary's murder. Lori, the second Mary's friend, said, quote, "A call came into the Houston Chronicle and I verified this with someone at the Chronicle. Between the time the first Mary Morris was killed and the time my friend was killed, saying something to the effect that they got the wrong Mary Morris the first time," end quote. So someone with knowledge of the first Mary Morris murder wanted to alert the press, the public, that this was a case of mistaken identity. But why? Many also look at the fact that there was no clear motive for the first Mary's murder. If you recall, police really didn't have much to go on. And the fact her wedding ring had been taken from the scene, it's believed that this could be how a hitman would prove that a job was completed, how they would show that they killed the person, that the first Mary Morris's ring was taken as proof that she had been killed. This can be a hallmark of a contract killing, which has led many to believe that these two murders have to be connected. They have to be a part of the same plot. Also, the fact that these two women did bear a striking resemblance, similar haircuts, hair colors, both drove similar cars, sedans. So some have said, hey, if a hitman was given a name and a photograph or a brief description of the target, they do look a lot alike. Both have fair complexions, permed dark brunette hair. They both lived in the Houston area. In regards to the first Mary Morris killing, Detective Robert Torrey said, quote, "The remoteness of the location where the victim was found as well as the effort that was taken to destroy the evidence and the vehicle, that would be consistent with a contract killing. But with the background of the victim, that doesn't seem likely, end quote. And this is where the contract killer mistaken identity theory sorta hits a wall. Detective Wayne Coolman said that this theory, that the first Mary Morris was a mistake or a botched hit, there just isn't any evidence police found to prove this. And there doesn't seem to be. There wasn't any evidence of Mike Morris making any large sum payments to anyone in particular. But according to investigators, they've just never found any definitive link between the victims. Some have speculated, oh, the hitman was probably so bad he had to look Mary Morris up in the phone book and just chose the wrong one. As the days, weeks, and months passed, investigators continued looking into leads, but never really came up with anything. Later stating that they believe the two murders were just a bizarre coincidence. And according to police, both Dwayne, the second Mary's co-worker, and her husband, Mike, have not been ruled out as suspects. And if you think this case couldn't get any stranger, oh, just wait until you hear about some of the odd things that took place after the murders. We know that a big part of these crimes was that both of the Marys had their wedding rings stolen. Keeping that in mind, a few months after the murders, a friend of the second Mary Morris was visiting their family for dinner. They were all there sitting around the dinner table, sharing a meal, when she looked over and noticed that their daughter was wearing the wedding ring. When she asked the family about this, Mike Morris supposedly told her that Mary wasn't actually wearing it when she was murdered. And I read other reports that the ring that was stolen from the second Mary Morris crime scene was never a wedding ring, rather just another ring that she wore a lot. Now this has been dissected both ways. Some believing this could be true. The couple was having issues in their marriage, Mike supposedly accusing Mary of having an affair, so maybe she wasn't wearing her ring that day. On the other hand, if this isn't true, that would mean that somehow Mike got the ring back from the individual who lifted it from the crime scene. There are just so many small and strange details that have emerged from this mystery. Some true, some you gotta question. Publicly, it seems the police have landed on the idea that these murders are likely not connected. But many others, including Jay Morris, the first Mary's husband, believes that is nearly impossible. He said, quote, "The astronomical odds that two Mary Morrises were killed 3 days apart, very similar in looks, to me, that's what it is. Astronomical odds that they're not connected," end quote. Lori Gemmel, close friend of the second Mary Morris, feels the same way and said, quote, "I can't help but think they have to be related. I can't imagine that two women with the same name would be murdered within 3 days of each other, both found in their cars, and not have that be related," end quote. Clearly, there was a lot more going on in the second Mary's life leading up to her murder than the first. In the first Mary Morris killing, police were really at a loss. There were no work disputes, reportedly no personal issues. It didn't appear to be a robbery. I mean, they investigated every angle and came up with a big question mark as to who would want to hurt this woman. There was no apparent clear motive in the first Mary murder. Now, the second Mary Morris killing, there was much more for police to go on. They had two suspects very early on in the investigation. The second Mary Morris was having issues with a coworker and, reportedly, her husband. What really sticks out to me is that call from Mary to Lori Gemmel, creeped out about someone she saw at the drugstore minutes before she frantically called 911. Mary reportedly mentioned that she somewhat recognized this individual that was creeping her out as maybe being a friend of Dwayne. Who was this individual? Did anyone else in the drugstore see Mary and this unidentified person? Because just over 10 minutes later, Mary is making that call to police. Police have never released this phone call, but can anyone else's voices be heard? So many unanswered questions in this case. We'll be right back. You're back with Avery After Dark. And it gets even more mysterious. About 6 months after the first Mary Morris was murdered, her husband Jay received something chilling. According to Unsolved Mysteries, Jay Morris received $2,000 in bills for Mary Morris's phone card. Jay takes this to police, and detectives traced it to a 16-year-old Galveston girl. So they interview her, and she tells police that she found a purse with the card and other belongings the month earlier, sitting in the parking lot of a Galveston convenience store. Galveston is an hour or so from Houston, but when police brought this purse back to Mary's family, they said they didn't recognize it, as it didn't belong to her. And shortly after this, Jay began receiving strange phone calls from an unidentified caller asking for Mary. This reportedly happened numerous times, and this individual would never identify himself. Finally, Jay referred them to the Harris County Sheriff's Office, and after this, the calls stopped entirely. Yet another mystery in this case, and to this day, that caller has never been identified. Now let's go back to one of investigators' suspects, Dwayne. Lori Gemmel, good friend of the second Mary Morris, has publicly accused Dwayne of being involved in Mary's murder. She said, quote, "She told me she was afraid of this person that she worked with. And I said, 'Do you really think he could hurt you?' And she said, 'Yes, I do. And I think he could do worse.'" End quote. And as this case has circulated online throughout the years, Dwayne has taken to the internet to defend himself, claiming that he's innocent. There's another theory that's gained traction in recent years in the true crime community, and that is that everyone has it wrong. This theory suggests that the first Mary Morris was the intended target, and the second Mary Morris was killed to cover up the first murder. Now, it's a bit out there. Stay with me now. Remember that mysterious call to the Houston Chronicle? In between the two murders, someone reportedly calling in and saying the first Mary Morris killing was a mistake? The caller's identity has remained a mystery. And many wonder, including myself, what would be the motive to make that phone call in the first place? That the killer or someone with knowledge of the murders would want to make his incompetence known to the world, to the media? That just doesn't make any sense. So this theory suggests that that call was made as a red herring to distract from the first murder, throw investigators off the trail. Just another theory in this mystery. It's a bit out there, but in a case as strange as this, every possibility should be investigated. So what do you think? Was this a contract killing? A case of mistaken identity? There have been many who have suggested there's just no way this was a contract killing, as a hitman would be much more professional and know the intended target. And to that I say, I think we as a society watch a lot of TV, and our view of a hitman may be a bit skewed. As in reality, many murder-for-hire cases ends up being someone offering someone's cousin or brother or friend of a friend a lump sum of money to shoot someone and then dispose of a gun in a nearby dumpster. Most hitmen are random people or a relative who want quick money, not necessarily a trained assassin. TV shows and movies show professional hitmen having a murder calculated and planned down to the very last detail. But just watch Dateline, many murder-for-hire plots are very poorly planned. They aren't criminal masterminds, and that's why they get caught so frequently. As of today, no one has been charged in either murder, and it's been over 20 years. Police say they've found no direct evidence linking the two murders, and as I mentioned earlier, local authorities have called the two killings a coincidence. Sadly, there is a lack of evidence in both murders. There haven't been any confessions, so this double murder mystery has turned into a cold case. If you have any information about the murders of Mary Henderson Morris or Mary McGinnis Morris, you can contact the Harris County Sheriff's Office or Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS. Both of these women and their families deserve justice. This is an unsolved case, so the entire thing is still really a mystery, but there are a few questions that really haunt me. First question, who was the individual in the drugstore that the second Mary Morris was so fearful of? Second question, why was the first Mary Morris's vehicle found in the opposite direction of her work? And my third question that really gets me, that 4-minute phone call between Mike Morris and whoever answered his wife's phone the evening she was murdered. Who did he speak with? Like Detective Kuhlman said, this was, by all accounts, an answered, completed phone call. And as he questioned, what did that phone call either set in motion or end? But now that you know this case, backwards and forwards, what are your thoughts? Theories. I'm really eager to hear your take on this case because it has left me bewildered since I began working on this episode. It's one of the most mysterious cases I've looked into. Drop your thoughts and theories in the comments on YouTube. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I look forward to next episode. I've got so much more mystery coming your way. Until then, I'm Avery Ross, and this is Avery After Dark.